The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a very good morning to all of you. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. I'm very glad to be here this Thanksgiving week. I'm actually really glad to be here this Thanksgiving week. We've been having Thanksgiving dinner and the children, and we have a 16-year-old who is now ready to drive. And Agnes, do you have some children?
I do. I've got one. Luckily, she's not old enough to drive yet.
That's right. You're far too young to have a driver in your house, but let me tell you what awaits you when you get to that magical 16th birthday. Mom, I need a car. All week long. That's all we've heard of. Right, Alice?
It's been awful.
That's right.
The
started out nicely, and then now he's not speaking, and his
and now
life
he has
is
this,
horrible. And
he it's has so
this,
unfair.
He has this need to see the Asheville real estate all of a sudden. He never had an interest in going anywhere with us, but now all of a sudden he needs wheels to drive around and see what the different houses look like on the west side of town and so on.
He said he's just heard about how cool downtown was, and I'm like,
that's
been
right.
Offered to take you down there for years now.
Right. So I'm gonna be rolling them around in a wheelbarrow, I think, for a little while.
Probably not a bad idea.
In any event, last week we spent some time talking about some insurance issues, and we have had a number of emails or calls. Alice handles all that with respect to insurance, and we're gonna deal with it a little bit more today because that seems to be where the interest lies. So, Alice, good morning to you. What do you have in the mailbag?
Oh, well, another insurance question. But first of all, I'd like to thank those of you that have emailed us with your questions and comments. And I'd like to remind you, if you wanted to pose a question to Glenn, I'll make sure he gets it. Please go to wesselinvestment.com and click the contact link.
Or you can simply call 232-2000.
Certainly.
We'll
yes.
answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lily emailed this life insurance question. It says, I purchased a universal life policy some years ago because I was advised that it addressed the shortcomings of whole life insurance. Would you please spend a little time discussing the pluses and minuses of your universal life insurance?
Sure. Universal life. Before I get into it, I want to just recap quickly some of the issues with whole life. Last week, we spent a fair amount of time discussing many of the problems with whole life insurance. And eventually, if in my history, I've gone kind of toe-to-toe with a few life insurance agents over time, and eventually they begin to admit, in many cases, that the premiums, because they must be paid regularly, whole life amounts to a kind of forced savings plan that will result in someone having at least some savings if the policy is kept in force, and at least some insurance, even if it's not enough insurance. Again, if the policy is kept in force. To answer that question, before I hit the topic of universal life, you might ask yourself, if a person is so ill-equipped to save routinely that that person is guided towards a relatively inefficient, in my view, insurance product that tries to double as an investment, why would that insurance policy have a borrowing feature? So if the person can tap the funds, and if a person's going to be irresponsible, that's exactly what's going to happen. So now we're led to the topic of universal life insurance. Before I address some of the issues and, let's say, problems with universal life insurance, let me give you just a little bit of history. Back in the 70s, we suffered from what is known as stagflation, a stagnant economy coupled with a high inflation rate. In the early 80s, the Fed, which was led by Paul Volcker at the time, invoked what's known as a tight money policy to wring inflation out of the economy. The result was that short-term interest rates soared to something around 16 to 18%, and the money market mutual fund was born. money market mutual funds, by the way, invest in short-term instruments. So what did people do? They either cashed in their whole life insurance policies or they borrowed against them and they invested the money in a money market account. That created problems for the insurance industry because, as I've mentioned previously, the insurance industry's goal is to create premium dollars, revenue dollars, not necessarily to see how much insurance it could put in force, but to create the premium inflows into the company's coffers. So the industry's response was to create universal life insurance, which was, in essence, designed to address the problems with people surrendering their whole life and whole life insurance and investing in a short-term savings account. Universal life insurance is a policy that is very similar to whole life in as much as it builds a cash value. It has premiums that you pay that are in excess of the cost of insurance. So you, in essence, you're paying far more premiums than you need to because some of that excess goes inside the policy as additional savings. The policy is the same as whole life in as much as you can borrow from it at usually a competitive rate of interest. In most cases, the cash value is also lost, just like whole life insurance, if you die. There are other policy options that exist, like policy option B, where you can say that you want the death benefit to be in addition to the savings account. But most policies in force, I believe, are written in such a way that if you die, you lose your savings account. The difference with whole life is that unlike the insurance company crediting a relatively constant rate of interest to the policy over the life of that policy, the interest component floats with short-term interest rates. So that was very appealing in the 80s when interest rates were 16%. The policyholder with a universal life policy can choose to pay more or less premiums to fit the budget of that particular person, which is not an option that a person would have with whole life. So whereas the industry used to say, well, we're going to create a forced savings plan to at least get you to save some money because you're not able to do that on your own, you're not able to regulate yourself well enough, now they've come up with this very flexible policy that has many ways where a policyholder could either increase the death benefit, decrease the death benefit, increase the premium, decrease the premium. And through all that machination, the policy will either mature or have a higher cash value earlier or have a lower cash value or have a higher death benefit. So it's very customizable. You can even skip premiums for a while if you'd like to. So anyway, we're running out of time. We're going to address this at the end of the break. My name is Glenn Wessel. I'm here with Alice and Agnes, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thanks very much.